Bless Huey as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord, and help us to apply it to our lives. Of course, in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
Ray, Mark, that was it. I think that's the first time I've ever heard that song. It was beautiful. Beautifully done. Thank you very much. God bless you both. Always wonderful. God has really blessed us. Hallelujah. So, I thank God for the opportunity. I'm not a preacher, but I love the Lord, and His Spirit dwells within me, right? And I will tell you that you can go to a big, big church where there's no parking and there's no room to sit, but if there's no Spirit of God, I don't want to be there, right? It's the Spirit of God that is here. This is the reason we are here. He is the one who is the great healer. Amen. He is the one who heals us, body, mind, and spirit. Amen. And He is the one who, our provider, praise God. And He is the one who loves us with that love that will not fail. There's a lot of love that will fail. The world's love will fail, but His love will not fail. And today, I just thank God for the opportunity to come before you. I have a few words because we're going to have communion. I don't want to be too long, but if you'll just pray for me, and we'll get through this one way or another. Hallelujah. And then I'll try to stand as long as I can, but eventually I'll probably have to sit down. But I'm pretty tall anyway, so we'll be okay. So today, we're going to be talking about belief versus unbelief. And I'm sorry, I always do this. Let's pray real quick. I know we either pray in this church in the world, but let's pray real quick. Father, without you, all this is useless. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Without you, there's nothing, at least in my life, Lord, and I think in all of these lives. You know, I don't want anything else. I want you. I want you today, Lord, to bless these people who love you. I love each and every one of them, and I thank you for them. But let's face it, I didn't die for them. You sent your son, Jesus. He died for them. He showed true love. And I just want to point towards Jesus. I want to glorify Jesus, and I know if I do that, everything will be fine. So bless them today, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So belief versus unbelief. Yep, that's what we're talking about. All right, praise God, making sure. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be funny. I really I really do have a lot of problems. Let's not problems. So my heart doesn't work right. We all know that. And so they've already told me my brain doesn't 100% work right. But everybody already knew that. But so we're okay, and God's going to bless. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And then in Hebrews 3:9 it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." We're going to talk about belief versus unbelief. We know that faith is, as in Hebrews 1 says, faith is the evidence. It's our evidence. What's your evidence that God exists? My faith in Him. Well, I can't see that. Well, no, if I could prove to you that God exists, then according to the Word of God, where it says that the just shall live by faith, if I could absolutely prove to you that God exists, then He would not exist, because that's opposite of what the Word says. So when you come to God, you must believe. Amen. And it's like, wait a minute, I've got to give money, right? No, I'm not asking for money. God's got all the money in the world. I'm not really worried about your money, honestly. He may, and that's between you and him. But it's not about me. And I will tell you this, all the money in the world won't buy Jesus. All the money. In fact, nothing except for repenting of your sins, realizing you're a sinner, repenting of your sins, and coming to God, believing in Christ in faith. All right, I'm getting way, way out, and I apologize. So Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, if today is the first time that you crack open your Bible on Sunday, or that, please don't make that mistake. God is there, and he wants to meet with you every day, amen? And he wants to commune with you every day, and he has something for you every day. Let's be in our word day by day. And if it's like, well, I don't really like to read the Bible. Okay, that's fine. I like to watch YouTube videos, and I've got some favorite preachers that I like to listen to. You can do that, but it's still that word of God. Because that word of God feeds the spirit of God that lives inside you. It strengthens you. Amen. You need to be in the word, and your faith is strengthened that way. Just like it says here, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you something. Your life and my life, whether you know it or not, we're like a giant pointer. And our lives are pointing towards something all the time. And it's just like, I'm pointing. And people all around you can see that. You may not even realize that they can see that, but they can see that where you're pointing. Amen? And hallelujah. When you show love for Jesus, you're pointing and saying, look to Jesus. When you say when you show love for those that Jesus loves, you're pointing towards Jesus. When you do not forgive others, you're pointing and saying, oh, look to the world. Because that's what the world says. Oh, someone has wronged you? Well, you need to take revenge. Amen? And we can't be doing that as Christians. We have to point towards Jesus, towards love. And Jesus said, forgive. How many times? 7 times 70. So I've done that where you're like, okay, I have 490. No, and we all know the Lord's saying, hey, I forgave you an awful lot, Huey. You can forgive these people. I forgave you everything, Huey. You can forgive people that do wrong to you, right? I mean, you've got to be able to do that in God's love and in God's strength. Let's do that. That's a powerful weapon, because when you don't do that, unforgiveness will block the power of your prayers. It will absolutely, the Bible says, if you come to the altar and you realize, hey, I haven't forgiven this sister or this brother, or something, you need to leave your stuff there, go and forgive, and then come back. Now, Huey, I forgave, but they didn't forgive me. That's between them and God. But you, what is between you and God is, Lord, I forgave them. And I mean real forgiveness in the heart, right? Because we've all been there where it's like, oh, I forgive you. And then we hold on to it. Don't hold on to it. Do not hold on to it. It's only going to destroy you. That unforgiveness is not going to destroy the other person. They're going to go on just fine. It's going to destroy you from the inside out. Don't let that happen. Amen? Don't let that happen. Hallelujah. When you come to church, when you praise God with all your heart, when you give to God's work, when you get up early on a Sunday morning and you set up chairs, when you stay afterwards and help tear down, when Ray and Mark play and sing, they're pointing to Jesus and saying, he's the reason for my joy. Amen? He is the reason for my joy. Our lives need to point to Jesus. Be aware that your lives right now are pointing at something Okay? It's pointing at something. It's pointing at, if you have unsaved friends or unsaved family, they're looking, and your life is pointing at something. Make sure that it's pointing to Jesus. Hallelujah. And where you're pointing today in your private life, only God can see. I can't see, and I'm not here judging. I'm just telling you what God's put on my heart. So let's make sure that we're making sure that our lives are pointing towards Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the most important thing in life is a person's salvation. Their name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we all know the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. Amen. The perfect Lamb who was given for our sins. He paid the price that we could not pay. Oh, I'll be good. That won't do. That's our own righteousness. That the only thing that you can do, excuse me, the only thing that can pay for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's and that blood shed in your life, brother. Hallelujah. It is a point. So I'm going to pray someone to be healed, and they will be healed, or they will not be healed, but eventually they're going to pass away, because the word says that, hey, it's appointed for everyone once to live and then to die and then to stand before God, right? Before his judgment. So it is important. What is important is that God has allowed something in a believer's life to bring about his purpose. Now, I can talk about this personally because the Lord had to come and take away an awful lot of part of my life before I finally got the picture that, wow, I see now where you were trying to get my attention this whole time, and I was into this and I was into that. And I don't want to sound like I was beating people, even though I looked like I could. I wouldn't or anything like that. I just wasn't focused where God wanted me focused, right? My focus wasn't on Jesus. Oh, I'm good at this, or I'm good at that, or tennis and all this other stuff, right? The thing is, sometimes God allows things into our lives because he's got a purpose for your life. And he is trying to, I don't want to say manipulate, but he is trying to show you, look, there's a better way. And that better way is my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your life to Christ. My own father's testimony is an example to this. My dad was a big guy. He was 6'4", 250, which to me is small because I'm 6'6", 400. But at the time, when you're only this tall and there's a guy who's 6'4", 250, you do what he says. And my dad was a tough guy. He was a truck driver. Back when driving a truck meant loading your own truck and unloading your own truck and carrying a gun because people were robbing you, and just, believe me, I felt bad for anybody trying to rob my dad. He was a big, tough guy. And he was a good dad, but he was gone a long time on the road. He'd be gone a couple of weeks at a time. And when I came to the Lord, he's like, son, I don't want you to be a preacher. You're going to have to do, something real with your life. You know what I'm saying? He was like, that's not real job. You're going to have a family, and you need a real job. And when I said, all right, fine, I want to drive a truck, he said, no, driving a truck is not for a family man either. And so he wouldn't let me do either one. And it was one of those things when dad says, hey, the sky is purple, you just shook your head and said, yeah, it's purple. If you say it's purple, it's purple. And that was the way God was. And don't get me wrong, my dad was a good man. He had a tough, tough life. And he did the best he could. And when he was 35, his heart stopped working. He ended up having to go into open heart surgery. And back then, open heart surgery was they cut you open, they cut your ribs, they spread your ribs, they went in and they worked on that heart. And he did that over 15 years, that happened three times. And they finally came to my mom, and they said, and I'd be driving him to Stanford University, where the top heart doctor in the world was, and I said, Dad, we need to talk about Jesus. And he's like, and he was a Texan just like me, and so he'd say, son, I already made my peace with God a long time ago. And I knew he never went to church or anything. And then, not that going to church is what saves you, but there's the fruit, right? And so he's like, he was always like, no, I already made my peace with God. All right, Dad. And I can remember God's grace is so amazing. We were up in Clear Lake where he lived, and he, fell over, passed out, and he was gone. I looked in his eyes, he was gone. Because of my military training, I knew some things to do, and so I did, and he lived. And God kept him alive that day. And it's like, wow, okay, praise God. But still, he was a man's man, and men didn't die that way. I don't know any other way to explain it. That was the way he looked at it. Well, I got a call one day from my mom and said, hey, the doctors have told me they can't go in and cut that heart anymore. Dad's going to be dead in a week. He's going to pass in a week. They give him one more week. And so I prayed, and the Lord said, you go get your pastor and you get up there to him. And so I did. I drove over. I picked up my pastor and I drove us both up there. And I want to tell you something. My dad gave his heart to the Lord that day. Sorry. My dad gave his heart to the Lord that day. My mom said that was the first day she could ever, ever remember since he'd been sick that he slept through the night peacefully. And I thank God for that. That's all God. That's God holding him alive. Amen. Keeping him alive until his purpose could be done. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank God for that. We commit to things all the time. Our time, our money, our energy, we're good. Some things are good, some things are not that we commit to. The word believe in the Bible is more than just a statement could or might be true. It means we trust in what God has said so strongly that we are willing to commit everything, our lives, our money, our relationships, to him. And to turn around from the direction we were going, and to go in the same direction as he wants us to go. Man, suppose you're hiking along a path on Mount Diablo, and you come to a deep ravine that has rocks along the side and the bottom. To your senses, that is dangerous and could lead to bodily harm. And that's true, or even death. In the distance, however, you see a bridge that gaps the ravine. You have seen others cross this bridge to safety. You believe that the bridge is strong enough to hold you, and you can see that it has worked for others. However, your belief in that bridge is only in your head. When do you really believe? You really believe when you step onto that bridge, amen? You really believe when you risk everything, you step onto that bridge, you commit your life to the safety of the bridge, and you walk across it. In the same way, with Christ, we can say we believe in him, and we can read our Bible and even attend church, But God wants to know you personally, a personal relationship with you, a true relationship with minute-to-minute communication, because he has a plan for your life, a personal plan for your life. That's why he bridged that ravine with his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has bridged that barrier of sin, and he wants you to commit your life to him and believe that he is and that he is able today. Trust him personally as your Lord and Savior. Now, biblical belief. Three things. Complete trust. Complete trust is surrender control. Control, so important. Obedience. Perseverance, right? Perseverance. There's more than a few people in here that understand when I say perseverance, that you have to persevere. Sometimes we pray and we say, all right, tomorrow the Lord will have this all fixed up. And I wish, folks, I wish, dear hearts, I wish. And if that's the way it happens, then praise God. But it's not always like that, amen. Firm persuasion. We need to know God is good. Not just like, oh, God is good. I can say that at church and we can sing it. No, no. God is a good God. Trust him with all your heart and your confidence, not just intellectual, but live it. That's biblical belief. A wholehearted commitment, serving only God, living sincerely for his purpose, amen? Consecration, being a living sacrifice, heart, soul, mind, strength, and letting go of self. So biblical belief requires acting upon that trust and is intimately connected with obedience. Amen? When you believe in God and he fills you with his spirit, you want to be obedient. I want to please the Lord. Like, oh, you just follow a bunch of rules to me. No, I'm not a rule follower, and I'm big enough that if I don't want to follow a rule, there ain't nobody here except probably maybe my wife. Okay, let's just be true. Let's just be real. And probably my mom too, but that's another story. I want to please God. Amen? I don't want to break God's heart with sin. I want, hallelujah, to be obedient. It is a better way. And I want to be firmly persuaded of the truth based on God, on evidence and God's past actions. We could be here all day with me telling you about God's past actions. But we all know, we all have a story. Oh yeah, I remember that time where God blessed me and God held me. And God brought me to the other side of the mountain. Amen? I am firmly persuaded. Ow, that hurt. I am firmly persuaded in Christ. Synonymous with trust, relying on God rather than human capabilities. Don't rely upon human capabilities, upon yourself. Don't even rely. I mean, we have a good pastor, and I thank God for our pastor, but don't rely on a pastor or a church. Your salvation is personal. Your walk with Jesus should be personal. Amen? True belief expresses itself in action and is fundamentally tied to obedience. That obedience, though, comes once you've accepted Christ and he grows in your life and you want to be obedient. That is a desire. I want to be obedient. If you go along through life like I did, I can remember when I was, oh my goodness, I think I was 10 years old. And I went to, of course, a First Baptist church because I was Texan. And so if you're a Texan, there's only one church and it's the First Baptist church. Nobody's laughing or smiling, but if you'd understand if you were Texan. And they said to the Sunday school teacher, said, I want you to memorize the books. So, all right, fine. So I went home and the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Well, I took that to mean the whole Bible. And coming up on the weekend, there was a test where I was going to, and my mom found me and I was crying. Why are you crying? I'm crying because I can't remember. I get to like Genesis 2 and I'm done. And she's like, why are you trying to memorize the Bible? Because the Sunday school teacher told us, she's like, no. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about just the Bible, just Genesis, Exodus. And it's like, oh, thank God. And what I'm saying is, it's not about following a bunch of rules. It's about your heart being changed, about surrendering control of your heart to Christ. And then he's going to grow inside of you, and you're going to want to not sin. You're going to desire to please him. Hallelujah. So let's talk about biblical unbelief. We talked about belief. So there's a rational unbelief. Oh, all these, I'm going to read these and I apologize. Intellectual doubts and the need for empirical proof. We talked about earlier. I don't know how many people have said over the years, prove to me that God exists. And I'm like, I can't prove to you God exists. You have to, faith says, or the world says, you show me and I'll believe. God says, you believe and I'll show you. That's what God did. Hallelujah. You believe first and then I'll show you. Don't question the existence of God, God's word, or whether the Bible aligns with modern science. Whether it does or does not, let me tell you, modern science will be gone one day, but the word of God will stand forever. And one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Even those now that say, oh, no, I don't need Jesus. I don't need your God. And if one day you will bow, just as the word says. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is this emotional unbelief where it's difficult to feel, oh, my goodness, feel that God is loving, good, or present in their circumstances. Oh, I fought with this one for many years. Oh, I don't feel the Lord. I don't feel. Folks, those feelings, don't base your walk with Christ on feelings. Base your walk with Christ on the word of God, amen, because the word of God is true. Those feelings are going to come and they're going to go. And sometimes like, oh, I'm on the top of the world. And there's other times like, I don't feel God here. And God is, hey, no, the word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. And then there's a volitional unbelief, willful rejection of belief. A conscious rejection because they're unwilling to surrender their lifestyle, personal autonomy, or morals to God. I will tell you that, I'm going to share this. I got a phone call a couple of days ago now from a good friend, and he said, hey, Huey, I need to call you and tell you because you don't come down to the tennis courts anymore, but they found Brian passed away. Brian was a friend that I played tennis with for like 30 years. And he was in his late 50s. And I witnessed to him more than a couple of times. And it was always like, no. In fact, he used to make fun of me and say, oh, Huey's going to call that in because of he's a Christian. And I'd say, oh, my goodness, stop. But he passed away. And now I pray that he came to a knowledge of Christ and said yes to Jesus before, but he's gone. And you just don't know, but he just could not give up his lifestyle. He could not give it up. And don't be that way. In the Bible, unbelief is more than an intellectual doubt or a lack of information. The Bible views it as a spiritual condition of the heart rather than a lack of mental capacity. You won't stand before God. Nobody in here and nobody in the world is ever going to stand before God and say, I didn't get a chance. I didn't know. I didn't understand. God has given all of us the same, amen, the same chance to say yes to Jesus. And I will tell you that in order to be fair to himself, a good God, a just God, Even those people who have never heard the gospel, and I think it's in Romans, he talks about that, about the condition of the heart. Willful refusal to acknowledge God, his word, or Jesus as the Messiah. This is a hardened heart. Don't harden your heart. When the world comes and points and says, oh, you sissy, you are going to accept Jesus. You were talking to God, and we don't need that over here. And it's like, and you harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Because God, he's not going to force you. He's not going to hold you down and make you accept Jesus. He could, but he won't. Because he loves you too much. If you're in heaven, it's because you wanted to be there. Amen? And it's because you realize how much Jesus, you love God because he loved you first. None of this is like, oh, whoa, look at all the good people are here and the bad people are out there. No. Yeah, there's some great people here and I love you all. But we're here because of what Jesus did on a cross. Amen? Hallelujah. Failing to act on what God has said is considered an expression of disbelief. It says, now he could not do mighty work there, and he marveled because of their unbelief. This is Mark 6, and this is Jesus. Because of their unbelief, he could not do. Don't be caught up in unbelief. Unbelief is spiritually dangerous. Beware, brethren, in Hebrews 3:12, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, there is this one part of Mark 9 where he says, unbelief can coexist with faith. Jesus said to him, to the father, who Jesus said, I'm going to heal your son and cast out a demon. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I don't know how many times I've said that in my prayers, amen. There's times when it's like, Lord, as I look out here and I see, I don't think you're going to get it done. But help me. I believe. Just help me with my unbelief. And he does. Hallelujah. All right, the world in Scripture. I hope this is not the first time you've ever heard the world in Scripture. It generally refers to the fallen, sinful human systems that are in opposition to God and his kingdom. Do not be, in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. There's one way to heaven. I'm the way and the truth, the life. And that Jesus said that, and you know that. For the word of God in Hebrews 4:12, and you all know this. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a path that leads to Christ and life. And there's a path that leads to destruction and eternal death. We are born on the wrong path, and if we're blessed, eventually we become stuck in the muck and mire that line both sides of that wrong path. Our Heavenly Father comes along, seeing our state, offers a way to life. We, however, are ashamed of our plight. We have seen the signs in our own lives that point to a more excellent way. However, we are drawn away by our own lusts and believe the lie of the world all around us, that the way of happiness was the path we were on. Things of the world, money, debauchery, and happiness, only to find out later that it was a lie. And that we were left empty and broken by the world. A world that told us sin was okay and that the Bible and the church was outdated and a drag. Told us that true happiness could be found in things and that true love could be found outside of what the Bible called holy. Now we have found ourselves alone and trapped by our own sin and hatred. Along the path comes our Heavenly Father, almost as if he was always right there. We hide in our shame, fearing his condemnation. He stops and he stoops by our side. Are you ready to be saved? No, we protest with our mouths, even though in our heart we really do want to be saved. I don't need to be saved. He smiles with eyes of love and compassion. Clearly you're in a hole and you're stuck and you need to be saved. I can save myself. But what would I give you, by the way, to save me? Father says, I'm afraid that you cannot save yourself. In fact, there's only one way to salvation, and that is through my son, Jesus. Yes, I've heard that before from the Bible, I frown. But you see, I have been really bad throughout my life to this point. I have lied and I have cheated. I have been lied to and others have cheated me. And I don't think I could forgive them. I know Jesus is going to want me to forgive those who have wronged me. And he's going to want me to give up certain things in my life that, frankly, I don't want to give up. Father patiently says, those things you cling to will bring your destruction. In fact, they are causing your destruction even now. I'll return when you recognize your need for a Savior and you realize that the things you are holding on to so tightly are only harming you. But don't wait too long. I can only save you while you still have breath, and it has to be your decision. I will not force you. I love you too much. Wait, I grasp. I've known for a long time that I need a Savior, but my pride has not allowed me to say yes to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? If you'll just come back tomorrow, I tell him, I will have pulled myself out of this hole, and I will clean myself up, and I will begin to love others. I will follow every command and be obedient from now on. Then I can find the path to your righteousness. My dear child, he says, you're like a sheep who's lost its way. You cannot save yourself. You cannot set yourself on the path of righteousness. There's only one way. My son, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. You must come just as you are. The only way to truly be cleansed is by the blood of Jesus that was freely given for you on Calvary. There's no way for you to earn heaven. You must simply repent of your sins and believe that Jesus paid the price for your salvation. Anything else is just filthy rags to me. It is a free gift to me because I love you and gave my son to Jesus. Will you say yes to Jesus today? Say yes to Jesus today. Now, I know that many of you, dear sweet souls, have said yes to Jesus, and I thank God for that. But this is a church, and as a church, our job is to reach out to others and to say and to point and say, that's the way, the truth, and the life. There it is. It's Jesus right there. Jesus. And that's what I pray that I'm doing today for someone or maybe for everyone. And I want to tell you that if there's a thing called backsliding, and I'm not accusing anyone and I don't know, but even if you're just like, hey, I'm not really that close to God anymore. I used to be, but I'm not. He's here for you. Amen. He hasn't rejected you. The Bible says that a real Christian is someone who falls down seven times and then gets back up seven times and comes to the Lord, says, I'm sorry, and repents and keeps on going. Amen. That's what we are and that's what we do, because nobody in here is like, oh, wow, all this time I've lived my life and I've never sinned. And I'm just going to walk straight into heaven. No, you're not. I'm going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did for me, not because of anything I did, not for this, not for marrying the most wonderful person in the world. because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I just pray today that you will look at your heart and be honest with God, because there's two people that know where you really stand with God. You and God. You don't owe me anything. I'm just another person. But you owe Christ. You owe God. Hallelujah. Amen. You owe God everything, because you have given to him everything. And he's there. He waits for you. And if you need prayer, hallelujah, we pray. We have people here that know how to say yes to Jesus and accept him into your life. Make sure you reach out. Amen. I love you to all of my heart. I've exhorted. I've delivered the word the best I could. I pray that it blessed you. And I thank you so very much for your time. I don't know what time it is. Oh, wow. Too long. Anyway, so we're going to do communion now. I'm going to try to go sit down somewhere. I love you very much. Oh, let's pray. Sorry. Father. Oh, I don't know why you let me do this, Lord, but I thank you that you do. And I pray, Lord, that they don't hear me, that they hear the voice of the Lord to their hearts, because I really do love them. I care about them. But Jesus loved them even more, gave his life for them. I want them to all be millionaires. That's my prayer. But Lord, I know that's not the case. I want them all to drive a Toyota truck. But I know that's not the case, because it's your will that be done, not my will. Your good and perfect will. I do want them all to love Jesus. I do want them all to carry Christ in their heart. I do want them all for their names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and for them to go from victory to victory. Hallelujah. And so I pray that for them today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I love you all. Thank you so very much. It's been a blessing to me. I came across this in my reading this morning. Isaiah chapter 26 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever." Amen. Go with God. I love you very much. God bless you all. Thank you. God bless you all. Amen.